This is the Rich Eisen Show.
By the way, you know, the realignment with the Big Ten, I don't think folks realize.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
That the Big Ten is going to a one big mosh pit of a standings like the Big 12.
Earlier on the show, Prime Video TNF analyst Andrew Whitworth. Coming up, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Recording artist Jason Derulo. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Andrew Whitworth of Prime Video is about to join us. He was on the set with me for the top 10 reveal of the NFL 100 top players in the NFL list that we've been counting down on NFL Network and NFL Plus last night. The show debuted on NFL Plus on Thursday night in advance of the first full slate of preseason games on NFL Network and NFL Plus. We're going to see the top 10 reveal on NFL Network on Thursday night. Andrew Whitworth will be in studio. It was Patrick Mahomes, by the way, number one overall.
Not surprising.
No, get out of here.
For the second time. For the second time.
I can't believe that.
The only other person to be number one on this list multiple times is
Tom Brady.
Do you want to guess how many times he was number one on the top 100 list? Which was born in 2011.
Which he was number one that year. He was number one that year.
2011.
Three.
I think it was three times.
Yeah. It was four times.
Whoa.
And the first time he was number one was at age 34 for him.
So he peaked late.
And yeah, Mahomes
started the list that year.
That's when they started the list.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson second.
Yeah.
Number two. And number three was Hurts. And number four, Nick Bosa. So the top 10, it went Mahomes, Hurts, Burrow, Allen. Were the order of quarterbacks being ranked. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, Warren Sharp had the full quarterback list on where they were at the in the top 100. Mahomes won, like you said, Hurts and Burrow 2 and 3. Josh Allen 4.
Yes.
Herbert 5.
Yes.
Kirk Cousins 6.
Yes.
Rodgers 7. Dak 8. Goff 9. Lamar Jackson 10.
These are, by the way, the peers.
Players
voting. This.
Players voting. Geno Smith 11. Tua 12. Justin Fields 13.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevor Lawrence 14. I feel like this list is going to look very different next year.
Well, keep it. Well, I mean, it obviously changes from year to year, but I totally believe Hurts deserves to be where he is on that ranking.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
I was saying that 2 weeks ago when The Athletic came out with their tier system based on 50 unnamed executives and coaches and coordinators and whatnot.
I'm more taking issue with
that. He was a top of tier two guy and not a tier one guy with,
right,
you know, Allen, Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes, and company.
I'm more having an issue with Cousins at 6 and Trevor Lawrence at 14.
Cousins over Rodgers is totally nuts. Get out of here. But players do appreciate Cousins. Players do appreciate Cousins. And, you know, somebody had to throw the ball to the guy who's number two on the list at the wide receiver spot. The only other wide receivers in the history of this list that were number two overall was Calvin Johnson and Antonio Brown. So I told Justin Jefferson in my interview that you're either going to the Hall of Fame or taking your shirt off and quitting.
What did he say?
He left.
Was it a laugh or a laugh?
And I'm like, I said, no, he laughed. And I'm like, I guess there's some gray area in between. Obviously, Antonio Brown was number two for a reason.
Yeah, Antonio Brown was great. He would be in the Hall of Fame
if it wasn't for the whole taking your shirt off and, you know, complaining about your helmet with the Raiders and things of that nature. Speaking of that, Hard Knocks is on tonight with the Jets. Great conversation with Ken Rogers and NFL Films last night. So, obviously, we'll have a full-on conversation about that tomorrow when the Jets show up in Carolina Panthers camp. Teams are going to start to scrimmage against each other before playing against each other.
Have you seen the clip today of Tyreek Hill roasting the Falcons secondary?
Tyreek Hill was number 7 on the list. He cracked the top 10, I believe, for the first time.
Yeah, Kelsey was in the top 10. Right?
Kelsey was 5.
Yeah.
Chris roasting them verbally or on the field?
It was on the field. Oh, yeah, okay. It was on the field. Yeah,
Burrow was 6. Tyreek Hill was 7. Number 10 was Chris Jones. Number 9 was Micah Parsons. That's number 8 low. Was Josh Allen.
Micah should have been 1 or 2.
Does feel like Micah's a little low there at 9.
Well, again, it's just it's a quarterback-driven league, obviously. And Micah Parsons, I do believe, is set for a huge year. I'll screw it. I'll just say it. I think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, ooh. Rich Eisen.
Well, you just took the words right out of my mouth. Ooh. There, Rich.
I do believe he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Are you already
than
Chris
that.
Brockman? I know him. He's already got the. He's already googling the odds.
No, of course.
Am I wrong? You're already googling
you
the odds.
By the way, Rich Eisen, you are not wrong.
You know your man over there.
I actually think it's. Hold on a second. I don't want to get it wrong. I think
he's
going to
be Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm going to take it a step further.
That is
when we make our predictions later in the before the season starts. You'll see.
Well, I'm already.
There's only one other thing I could go beyond that. So.
Well, I mean, you've got Nick Bosa, you've got T.J. Watt again, you've got Aaron Donald if he can game wreck in the way that we know he can, and then there's Myles Garrett. Chris Jones is he was upset about being 10th. He thinks he should be higher.
Those are all bad boys.
Yeah, they are. I mean, so you know, those are the top 10 players as voted on by the
Mike
peers.
Mike has got the best odds. He's 6-1.
All right, let's talk after the show, Chris.
I also, you know, and again, just people can't be happy in this world. Whoever's from the Orioles front office or ownership group that is watching television and saying, you know, why are we living in the past? Why can't we talk about how terrific our team is right now?
But he is by pointing out that stat
that we're that they can actually start turning the page. But that's also a production. It wasn't Kevin Brown, the announcer in question, wasn't just off the top of his head. They had a rundown meeting clearly and put
it was
on
in
a
the
graphic.
Game notes.
It was in a graphic.
Yeah.
This is from Masson, the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network. They made a decision that we're going to talk about how we can actually turn the page. And if somebody in ownership's like saying, how come we can't just always wear team gear because we want to sell, you know, team gear? And by the way, when you put announcers in team gear, you're basically saying to everyone at home they don't have any idea on having an independent voice. Your broadcast is totally whitewashed. Mm-hmm. So any team that says we're putting it, and by the way, I don't mind team gear being worn by announcers during preseason football games, all right? Because we're not, these are all local broadcasts. I understand it's just a local audience that's watching a preseason game. This is, we're talking regular season baseball, and your announcers should have an ability to say, this stinks, that's a bad idea. Because that's the way everyone at home is taking in the broadcast. But for this guy to be apparently suspended for just talking about the past instead of living in the present, the Orioles have 70 wins. You know who also has 70 wins?
The Braves.
Correct.
That's it.
That's it. And the Braves list. Have been this year, without question, every single information individual we've had on here saying the best team in Major League Baseball, bar none, World Series favorites to win it again are the Atlanta Braves. And the Orioles have as many wins right now. 3-game lead on the Rays team that they are better than right now. And the Rays started the season like the 84 Tigers. Mm. Look at this. And somebody sitting in the Orioles front office or management group saying, we should talk about the 70 wins, not the last several awful years that our fan base is totally scarred by, and the fact that we have 70 wins is because we have so many terrific players because we stunk so bad and we actually made the right decisions. Mid-Atlantic Dave is in Nashville, Tennessee, wants to talk about this. What's up, Mid-Atlantic Dave?
Oh, yeah. Am I speaking to El Sacador?
Yes, you are, I guess. How are you? You threw me on that one. What's up?
There's a lot of truth there. I saw that in the break there. Anyway, Kevin Brown. So the weird thing about this is when I would listen to his games, he wasn't horrible. He was literally a homer, just like Ken Harrelson and all the K of the Yankees. They really do are homers. So I'm watching a game. The Orioles score 4 runs. They're up 4-0. And Kevin Brown goes, the Orioles are pouring it on with a lot of exuberance.
Uh-huh.
Like, man, 4-0 is not a safe lead in the American League East. So if anything he's guilty of, it's being a homer.
But, I mean,
not the opposite.
But again, if you're going to be on a broadcast and have, and thanks for the call, Mid-Atlantic Dave, and put up on the screen, hey, they're 1-15-1 against the Tampa Bay Rays over the last some odd series. The last time they won was 2017. And then there's somebody in management or ownership sitting at home steaming saying, we have so many wins. We are good, finally. And we're talking about the past. Suspend this man. Send him to radio. As if, by the way, that's a punishment. It's just nuts. Just sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy it.
The ride that you are on, and not sit there and say the past doesn't exist. It's like what we're seeing with the an education in our country, right? Not to just writ large. It's just like, let's forget about the bad stuff. We can't teach our kids about that. Let's just talk about how wonderful things are right now when they're not. That's the real world. In the toy department, the Orioles have as many wins as the Braves. Good Lord. Connor in Wilmington, North Carolina, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. Been hanging on for a while. What's up?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
What's going on?
Good. I'm glad to be on the show. Been a big fan for a long time.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Greatly appreciate it.
And just wanted to say real quick before I start that I'm also a moderator for Tom Grassi, so enjoyed your interview with him from a few weeks ago.
It was a pleasure to meet him and see him do what he did for St. Jude.
Yeah, I got to meet him as well when he was in Charlotte. First time I got to meet him in person, so that was great. But, yeah, I grew up as been a lifelong Orioles fan, and it's just kind of crazy, this whole situation, because, you know, it seems that it's kind of funny how, you know, the Orioles are being humiliated when, you know, John Angelos and the execs didn't want to be humiliated with those facts being put out there, and now you have all these broadcasters coming out, you know, in support of Kevin Brown, and now you're going to have a national television audience tonight on TBS watching the Orioles play the Astros, and what's the first or second thing I'm going to talk about is this entire situation that's happened, and it's just...
Right, but a perfect example, though, I don't know if they're going to be talking about an announcer during a game, to be honest with you. They might bring it up for a brief bit, and this is more of a local issue, but I'm bringing it to everyone's attention nationally here because I think it's unfair that somebody is suspended for talking facts that are supported on the screen by a graphic. And I honestly watched that entire video like a horror movie through my fingers, like saying, when is he going to say something inappropriate? And then honestly, when the video ended, you saw it, TJ, right? Yeah. I was like, that's it?
I watched it three times.
Right, like to see, did we miss anything?
What did he say?
Did he flash a sign or something that I didn't see? So, you know,
like I was like, oh, man, what's this guy saying?
And I appreciate the call. Thank you. But the Astros, remember when they won, they started winning? The number of times they were saying they had 100 losses. This is a 100-loss team. And now look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the front office was like screaming at the screen or doing something, picking up a phone and demanding the suspension of somebody who's saying they used to have 100 losses? No. Because that's it. I mean, honestly, you talk in the NFL worst to first. Do you think Shad Khan was railing at somebody, maybe in a Jacksonville broadcast? Hey, let's talk about how good Trevor Lawrence is looking, not the fact that we were picked first overall 2 years in a row. Come on.
Isn't that a plus for the front office to say you lost 100 and now look at you? Would make me feel like the front office did something really good. They got it together. They turned it around.
Yes.
That's how
The alternative is also we've stunk. We've had all these great draft choices, and the players that we've used aren't up in the majors because they stink. No. As a matter of fact, I'm excited for Orioles fans. I am. Until, you know, they start enjoying the Yankees' demise. Honestly. That's the alternative. And by the way, I would push back that Kay is not a homer. I think one of the callers just said that. He is not a homer. Okay? I know you hear his calls he's and not, see you. And not. He said, no. But then he steps on his radio show and he lights everyone up.
Yeah, he lights them up on the air.
And
every home announcer is a homer.
No, I know that. I think that, you know, I've heard...
Dave O'Brien is a homer like they all are.
No, but Orsillo isn't. Like
for San Diego, of course he is.
Well, he's a homer but in Boston, Orsillo would speak his mind, and Remy would too.
And that's why they got fired.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a point.
Nah. Remy, rest in peace.
You know what? Again, maybe I'm just maybe I'm naive. I don't know.
I kind of want my TV guy to be the be a homer. I mean, yeah, it makes watching the broadcast more fun.
There is a line in announcing.
Like, let the color guy be more critical.
Trust me, if I'm an expert on this subject matter. When I am paid by the league that runs the network with its name on it that I have been hosting for 20 years this fall. You know, there are times, obviously, we're not going to do any exposés on the league that other maybe news outlets are endeavoring. You know, all this stuff you've seen about how playmakers went away. Remember that? There's like some deep dive on the 20th anniversary of Playmakers.
Yep.
It wouldn't happen anymore because, again, television networks are now partners with the league. You're working together. Okay.
They were a partner with ESPN.
They were a partner with ESPN, but back in the day, ESPN was biting the hand that feeds. And so of course the NFL is going to be like, "What are you doing?" Not to mention the show stunk.
Oh, hard disagree.
Okay, fine. I also was very I was wondering what the hell ESPN was doing. All of their original scripted stuff, the movies and whatever, they were awful.
Well, the Bob Knight one was not great.
Good Lord.
But Playmakers was kind of ahead of its time.
By what? Showing all that crazy stuff?
Showing the real stuff goes on behind closed doors with these guys.
I was seeing it, and I'm like, what the hell are we doing? That's what I was doing, sitting there. But then again, it's my job to be talking about this stuff, and they made it more difficult on me to do that.
That's true. Yeah, you had a different
perspective. And I have a problem with that, and I speak about it on the show, and I've been told many times, backed up by the man himself, who I just saw on the podium in Canton, you know, speak your mind. Do your thing. Just be respectful. And if you have any pushback from anyone in the league, you call me. And Roger Goodell told me that 20 years ago, right around this time, as a matter of fact, when I met him for the first time. I remember exactly where I was when he told me that. I was deep in a sand trap.
He would have been lead counsel back then, right?
No, he was the COO of the NFL. I told you that story, right?
Yeah.
That I got a call in my apartment from Roger Goodell's office, and I called Steve Bornstein immediately, my boss at the NFL Network. And I'm like, I just got a call from someone in the NFL. I'm unfamiliar with this person. So I didn't know the flowchart of the NFL other than Tupac.
Did you call him Goodell?
I did not. No, I told Steve Bornstein. Who was it? Who is that? I said, it's Roger Goodell. He goes, hang up and call him right now. What are you talking to me for? And so I'm like, oh, hold up. And I called him.
I love your impression.
No, but it's the truth, though. It's the truth that there is a fine line. But I have never been reprimanded for talking about a fact.
Just a straight numbers fact.
I got through the lockout. Talking about the lockout, I did a 28-minute interview with Jeff Saturday on NFL Total Access, unedited. And I didn't get a phone call. Yeah. And this guy, for talking about how the Rays were dominant on the Orioles, is getting suspended over it?
And how the Orioles have turned the corner. So petty and thin-skinned.
He got 70 wins August 8th. They didn't have how many seasons did they go through where they didn't even get 70 wins?
Great question.
Be careful.
I'll get back
You'll
to
be
you.
Suspended. Don't tell
Come
me.
At me, Angelos.
Can we agree that this was Richard the King petty?
Oh, yes. Oh, it's at the top of the petty level. All right. Andrew Whitworth's coming up here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk some ball and spit some facts. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning. Drink it in the afternoon before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep, going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
All right, we're back here on our Roku channel feed. Our radio audience will join us in just about a couple minutes' time. I am thrilled to have here on the Rich Eisen Show from Amazon Prime's coverage of Thursday Night Football, a Walter Payton Man of the Year, longtime NFL veteran, our friend Andrew Whitworth. Good to see you again, sir.
How are you, Rich?
I'm good. I got to tell you guys, I saw this man last Thursday when we recorded the top 10 reveal of the 100 top 100 list.
Okay.
That aired on NFL Plus last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I turned to you and I'm like, hey, I'd love to have you on. Here you are.
I'm here. I'm a good listener, man. Offensive lineman. Rich Eisen speaks, we listen, man.
That's right. You have my back. That's literally it.
That's right.
I said, yeah, I'd like to come on. I'd like you to come on. 4 days later, here you are. And that was a fun show that we did.
It was.
That
was fun.
That was a good time.
What an honor. That was something like that with you.
It was certainly with somebody who was on the list three times, yourself.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know? So, all right, here are the things that we're going to talk about once the radio audience returns. Have you been to any training camps or no?
I have. I've been to Rams camp and I went to Cowboys.
At Rams and Cowboys. Okay. Yeah. So you stayed local.
Yeah,
here.
Local.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're locked in on a lot of what's going on in the NFL and talk to a bunch of people, which I think is outstanding, obviously. So I want to hit you on a few of those items. And then Thursday Night Football, your first game is, where is your first game?
It's a good one. Philadelphia. Vikings-Eagles.
Vikings, Eagles. Vikings, ooh, and Eagles.
Nice.
On that one.
Okay. A lot of points in that game.
Well, the Vikings start, hold on a minute, the Vikings start at home against Tampa and then go to Philly. And then Philly starts at New England, watches Brady LFG the whole thing with the statue in front, and then they play Thursday night.
Rough 0-1 start for the Eagles.
Well done. Very good job. Wow. I appreciate that. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by, just like Andrew Whitworth from Prime Video on Amazon of Thursday Night Football, a longtime Pro Bowler in the National Football League and a Walter Payton Man of the Year candidate. Great to see you, sir. Good to have you here. Thank you, brother.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay, let's jump straight into this because you told me a story that I have actually told a couple times since you told it to me when we sat on the NFL Network set talking about the top 10 players and revealed the top 100 final 10. TJ, this is for you, sir.
Oh, yes.
Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
You saw him. You went to Cowboys camp. You saw him do his thing. And then I want to talk about what he did afterwards with you. But tell me what you saw from Micah Parsons on that practice field in Oxnard, California, Andrew.
I think what's so refreshing about Mike, and I think we touched on this in the offseason, is just his passion for getting better. I mean, how much he talks about that 1%, about being different than everyone else. I think this week he talked about he wants to be one of the best in the Hall of Fame, not just in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's really his mentality. And to watch him practice every rep, he is just destroying every play. It's almost to the point where, you know, the coaches make jokes like, would it be better to not have him in there in plays? Because just at least we could have like a, you know, a productive football play and get to see if a play works or not. Because he's jumping the counts, he's beating guys so early that some plays don't even get a chance to progress through their natural progression of a football snap. And so he's just wrecking shop, and he's excited, and you see it every play. There's just an energy that's different.
So they joke about it, or they actually did occasionally take him off the field?
I think they do. I mean, and that's why I asked him that on our show, is that he's one of those guys. Aaron Donald was much the same way. That it's like sometimes you're like, hey, giving him a couple reps every now and then, or trying to get him off the field for a minute, kind of gives us a chance to see what other guys can do. And then also have just productive offensive plays that we want to get off. And so there's always going to be that battle when you're that good of a player and you're that dominant of, you know, what people wanting to give you a little break, take you off the field some, for you and also for the team at times. But I think he's always going to battle, and he's one of those guys, man, competing is his thing, and that's all he wants to do.
Did you ever in a Rams practice go up to Aaron Donald and just say, hey, vet to vet here, can you just dial it down a little bit because we need to work on a couple things here?
Honestly, here's the problem. AD is such a – he's a – you know, absolute terror. He's a monster in a football game, but he's also a sweetheart. And it's really, honestly, Rich, what made me realize my career was coming to an end because he was so gentle with me. If we ever ended up over each other, he didn't just annihilate me. He kind of just, you know, slowly would move me back towards the quarterback and then kind of, you know, conveniently pull off a little bit. So he was very gentle with me, and I used to say he was intimidated by me. That's what it was. But I clearly know he didn't want to hurt me. That's what it was.
So why did you take that as an indication that Father Time was finally tapping you on
obviously
the shoulder?
I looked like enough of an old man that he was like, you know what? I don't want to hurt Big Brother or Big Uncle or Grandpa. I think that's more closer to Grandpa. But I think he'd have felt bad hurting the old man, the old statesman.
And you see some of that in Micah Parsons when you're actually watching the Cowboys practice.
Yeah, unfortunately right now Micah's in that young mode of I'm destroying everybody. And so, you know, I think those guys, I'm sure in the offensive line, don't really love having to go against him every day just because he is that guy. Like, he is trying to compete to win every snap because he's young and he's got to prove himself.
And then what happened after practice? What happened after practice?
Then he came up to me and, gave me a big hug and kind of, wanted me to kind of talk to some of the guys and stuff. And then I said, hey, you know what? I'm off tomorrow. What you doing? And I said, well, I live like 30 minutes from here. And he said, I'm coming over. So I said, all right, perfect. He's coming over. So I called Melissa on the way home, like, hey, babe, you know what? Mike is coming over tomorrow with us and the kids, and it's going to be a fun day.
And what can you want to share? What was going on? Like, what is Micah like when he's coming by the Whitworths? What is
he
that
was
like?
Great, man. We hung out. Kids got in the pool, grilled out a little bit, and had some good food. But, you know, I was telling last night, we have our Amazon seminar going right now, and
yes,
the league officials and all that were there, and so we had a little dinner. And I was telling them, like, cool NFL moment, you know, of just the family, the brotherhood that we are.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, who's 12, massive Taylor Swift fan, loves to sing. She's in a singing group, kind of brings it up at the dinner table, and he's like, I want to hear it. And she looks at me like, Dad, do I really have to sing right here in front of him? And I was like, you got to sing in front of Micah. This is pressure, babe. If you want to sing, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on my phone, play her a song. She sings in front of him. He stands up. She's standing at the kitchen island singing, and he's like doing his arms, dancing in front of her, like encouraging her. And I was just sitting there like, we're not documenting this, but like, what a like an NFL family moment. Here's this young star who's at my house watching my daughter sing, encouraging her, cheering her on, smile on his face. It was just a cool moment.
Well, and in all seriousness, and this is not painting folks with a brush, but I mean, he's a young kid in Southern California on an off day.
Yeah.
And he's with the Whitworths hanging out at a dinner with kids and conducting, you know, a little girl's singing of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a choice, but it's wonderful that he's doing that. You know what I mean? Like some other guys might just say, screw it. I'm going to town and, you know, I'll hoot with the Owls, but it's tough to soar with the Eagles, as Rod Woodson said.
Yeah.
He always heard from Chuck Knoll. So how good do you think the Cowboys can be? Let's just put this right on the head.
Yeah, I think so. You know, you look at that division, it's going to be really tough. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously the Giants have done things to get better. The Eagles are going to be really special again. I think the Commanders are going to be interesting as well.
Okay. Now, look, you have a very deep voice, but did you hear, was that a higher register from Andrew Whitworth?
It was.
Right?
I think it's going to be interesting.
He just went there.
It was a little higher.
Okay. So we here at the Rich Eisen Show say you've got to go higher register to believe something that you're saying, like, you know, I got to look out for the Commanders, like that sort of. You didn't say that about the Eagles. You know, you went like the Eagles are going to be good.
I kind of think that it's obvious the Eagles ought to be pretty good.
Okay, so I think
the Cowboys. Yeah, I look at it. You know what? Defensively, you got some young stars. They're getting better, and then offensively, you know, hopefully you get Zach Martin back, and you still have a good offensive line and their health. And if Tyron Smith stays healthy, you know what? Dak Prescott's always played really well when he's had that guy in the lineup and had the safety and security of being able to play the quarterback position without getting hit. And he makes them that much better because then you move the young kid inside. So I think offensive line-wise, they're better. And I'm interested to see how Mike McCarthy takes over the reins and how this team looks differently offensively.
What's the question there? What's the question about that?
Well, I just think with Kellen Moore, it was a little different. And I think that with Mike, it's going to be a little more of an emphasis, I would imagine, of being a more physical team and a little bit of what their nature they've been better at, probably. You know, when they were really dominant, that was who they were known as. You don't have Ezekiel Elliott anymore, but can they still be that style of football and really learn how to, you know, I think when they're playing the Eagles, it can't always be an offensive shootout. They got to play defense, and they got to be able to control the ball some, too.
Okay, and so what do you like about the Commanders where you went kind of like, you gave me that whole don't sleep on them higher register there.
I just think you guys.
Oh, you went, you just did it again.
I did.
You just did it again.
Terry McLaurin, I mean, some of those guys, they got some special guys. And I think that anytime you're in a division like that where everybody's really good.
Yes.
And you were kind of just forgot that you exist even in the division. Mm-hmm. I just think you may sneak up on some of these teams. And, okay. and I think they're going to play them tighter than you think. You imagine, go back to last year, Washington and Philadelphia. I mean, so. I think they're going to play these teams better than people think, and that's why I think it's interesting to me, and I get a higher pitch because I'm intrigued to see if they can be that team that kind of surprises in the division.
Well, it's a quarterback-driven league, so the question is Sam Howell going to be able to come in his first year and take advantage of the roster that you're touting here, Andrew Whitworth of Prime Video here on the Rich Eisen Show, and that's the concern. And then you heard Ron Rivera say, don't sleep on Jacoby Brissett. And it's just like, okay, that's the quarterback situation going in. And it makes you scratch your head. And again, you tell me this. You're a longtime veteran of this league, and you would know better than I would. If I'm judging a book by its cover, Mike Hoskins, our coordinating producer, can you call up the Sam Howell headshot for 2023? There it is.
That's confidence right there. I mean,
well, you see confidence there. I see sleepy. You know, I see just rolling out of bed. Like, you know, that's not. Is that elite? You know what I mean? Like, is that an elite quarterback?
I think he right there in that picture is. You know what? He's not worried about being pretty. He's worried about playing the position. You know, that's what I see. I see confidence. All right, I'm selling myself right now.
That's right. Wow. That's right. That's a half. That's a half. That's a half good picture. Full glass of Sam Howell.
Okay. Terrible picture.
So. You know what I mean? It's just
my voice level just went down a couple notches after that.
Commanders
picture.
Are out.
They're out. Okay. They're done now. No sneaking up on anybody.
Andrew Whitworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. You went to Rams camp as well. And the number of rookies that they have there, was it weird for you to go to a spot that you're so familiar with and seeing a bunch of people you don't know walking around there already just 2 years out of the game?
Andrew? It is. It's crazy. 36 rookies in camp. I mean, unbelievable to how young they are. But also, you know what? At times it's fun because going to their first couple practices, I mean, the it sounds like a high school practice, like how loud they are. Every time somebody makes a play, the whole entire DB group, all bunch of youngsters are jumping all over the field. You'd think they just won a game. You know, but if they break up a pass from Cooper Kupp or they knock down a Matthew Stafford long pass down the sideline to Tutu or you know, Vance Johnson, it's like they throw a party, you know, and it's so there's this infectious energy to being that young. That's also like cool for a team that's in a position where last year was bad days at work, right? I mean, it was a tough year for them. You get down on yourself, you get down on how you believe, but to have some of that young energy, I think is a positive for them right now.
Okay, let's just jump right into it. What you're willing to share on the quarterback wide receiver combination that's there, starting with Kupp. And his health and him pulling up with a hamstring, what apparently on a red zone play last week in practice, and he's pretty much shut down. Is there any concern for him right now?
With Coop, it's really how much was he going to play that much in the preseason anyways?
Okay.
But, you know, probably for him, it's like getting healthy. And then, I mean, this guy, you know, who he is, how he works, how diligent he is, I think – he's going to be prepared no matter what. It's just let's make sure this hamstring's ready to go week one. And so I think that's their only focus is really getting him healthy, less about the reps. I mean, everyone's seen their relationship, Stafford and Kupp, and they meet every single morning early in the morning for anybody who gets to work. And they're always going to be on the same page. So I'm not too worried about that situation. You know, what's going to come down to this team is really less about who's been there. It's going to be more about there's going to be a lot of young faces that are taking snaps, a lot of snaps this season. And so do I think that they're going to be better than they were last year? No doubt. It's going to be can they kind of overcome some of those rookie young football team mistakes and are they going to cost them in games at the end? Because we all know how close the league is and those little mistakes usually end up being what kills you in a game.
Sure. And obviously this does appear as if it's the payment of the credit card. in many ways of the picks being effed, and now the picks are now in, and it's hopefully time for these guys who the picks have now, you know, become humans to perform.
Yeah, I mean, 2 years ago, Rich, look at outside rusher. 2 years from the Super Bowl team, there's not a single guy from the practice squad, the roster, the draft, anything left on that football team that I played with. There's every single outside rusher is either a rookie or never played the position until this year. I mean, Michael Hoyt was a defensive tackle last year, and he's been moved to outside rusher. He is the only guy that's even from that roster. So it's pretty wild to see how much turnover there is at certain positions on that team.
And then the question about Matthew Stafford's health and what was last year. Was last year something that he truly needed to just be shut down, or he was shut down because it wasn't worth running the risk of making whatever he was overcoming worse? Does he have an idea like how long he wants to play? Is this a position in flux? Or is he just going to come back and just be the guy that we saw 2 years before? What can you tell us about his mindset coming into this season?
Yeah, I think this year he feels pretty good and is feeling back to normal, and he seems really competitive and locked in just from being around there. But I think people really don't understand, because he is such a private guy and somebody who would never complain or even ever let you know when he's going through something. Last year was a really, really tough year. I mean, it's unfortunate he wasn't on the quarterback series that just came out, because it would have been crazy if people see just how intense his arm issues and things that were bothering him. I mean, he's a private guy, but to not throw a football with your guys the entire offseason, basically, and then to get into camp and be like, hey, you can only throw me balls, so many balls a day and only so many times a week. To really have zero opportunities as a quarterback to throw passes to receivers and then walk into an NFL game and say, all right, I'm going to go out here and perform. One, you know that your arm is obviously not in a great place and how it's feeling, if that's the case. Uh-huh. And then two, just having that ability to throw passes in practice and, you know, work at your craft. I mean, that's what every quarterback does. You see him after practice constantly working on certain things. To not have that ability to do that, just the mental state he had to be in of struggling to, like, hey, I want to go out here and perform. I want to live up to the expectations. But, right now, I'm in a situation I can't, you know. So I think that year starting how it did, losing so many linemen, him getting crushed, you know, week after week, I think it really led to, hey, we got to make the smartest decision of what's best for his health and for him to keep being the quarterback for the Rams in future years. And so I think now he's ready. He's locked in. He's excited to turn things around, and I'm excited for him.
So he is focused and is good. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Obviously, he's focused, but he is as into playing in the National Football League as ever.
As I've been, just like when he first came to us. I mean, he seems like Matthew right now. And so it's good to see. He seems happy and content and ready to roll.
Okay. I've got Andrew Whitworth here from Prime Video on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's take a break. I want to finish the hour with you here. I want something from your other team, Cincinnati, and the quarterback, and what you might be able to fill us in on Joe Burrow, because Ja'Marr Chase, another fellow LSU Tigers, told him, yeah, we'll see you in October. We got this for you. So I want to hit that, and then some sleeper teams and maybe a prediction or two from you.
Okay.
Andrew Whitworth here from Prime Video, back with him on the Rich Eisen Show in just a moment.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, I've got Andrew Whitworth, Prime Video here, Thursday Night Football, going to be starting in about 5 weeks' time on the road. So you were mentioning your daughter is a big Swiftie. Taylor Swift is currently in Los Angeles, California. Did you go?
I have not gone. I'm going Wednesday night.
You are.
I am.
The big finale.
I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going. Rich, listen, you know, I told you this earlier. It's our Amazon seminar this week, meeting with the league and going over the season and all those things. Yes, last night, at about 2 a.m. at the Shea Hotel. You know how these things go. We're sitting around. We end up hanging out, having some drinks after dinner, talking ball, and natural progression. You know, in the city of L.A., everything is Swiftie. You know, the hotel lobbies are bracelet-making stations. There's Taylor Swift music in every hotel and restaurant going on right
now. It's like a Super Bowl.
It's unbelievable.
It's transformed.
It really is. But natural progression in a night. Ryan Fitzpatrick and I were making friendship bracelets at 2 a.m. last night. And I think it's one person who walked in the lobby who was not with us, just a a good fan of the program, walked in and said, "Of all the things I thought I'd see in L.A. when I got here for the Taylor Swift concert, is you two making bracelets in the lobby of the Shea." But
at 2 in the morning, did you have one in your hand right there?
I made a Rich Eisen Show bracelet.
Hey!
So we are now officially friends.
Look at
Not
this.
Not that we weren't before, but.
Look at this.
It's it does, now official.
It does actually say Rich Eisen Show on it. Dude.
Goodness.
I mean, if you knew how many times I dropped that bracelet and all those little things came off of it last night, these big fingers trying to tie it at 2 a.m.
Impressive.
I was very proud of it, I'll be honest with you.
Impressive.
Wow, well done.
Thank you. Very much appreciated. This is touching. I'm actually very touched by this.
You're welcome. It was special. It was a special moment.
All right. And Ryan Fitzpatrick just, made one for you? Is that
he made me one. He actually made Melissa one, my wife one, so I got to give it to her, too. So
very good. Andrew Whitworth still here. He just gave me a friendship bracelet that he made at a bracelet-making spot in his hotel because Taylor Swift's in town. Words I never thought I'd say into a microphone.
That's it.
You are truly a man of the year. Look at this, Chris. There it is.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
And I got it from Andrew Whitworth.
Man, oh, man.
I don't know if I'm going to take this
get
off.
Get ready, Whit. It's a 3.5-hour show, apparently.
Yes, it is. Taylor Swift.
Locked in.
You're going on Wednesday night, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what's going on with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati? Is this several weeks stuff going to be over by week one? Your fellow LSU Tiger, Jamar Chase, said he's telling Joe Burrow, we've got the first month. Take a 10-week break. The 6 weeks from his pulling up and the first four of the NFL season. What can you fill me in on this?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to him the day it happened, and, Joe being who he is, man, he's just such an intense guy. He was like, man, it really did scare me at first. And I was like, man, I've actually been there. I had something similar happen to me in my career early in training camp. And it's calves are tough, man, just because it's one of those things, especially for somebody like him, like pushing off of it, being able to stabilize on it and stuff. It's something that can bother you a lot. So, I would see him probably saying, hey, there's probably a period of time, I'd imagine, with a calf that you're doing nothing on it just to let it heal a little bit. And then you start to work into, can you get strength back in it and mobility and all that? You're always stretching it and moving it. I don't know. The one thing I'll say for them, if you think of the last two seasons, how they've started, they haven't really been a team who's like jumped out there.
They were 0-2 last year, and everybody thought they were dead in the water.
Yeah, falling apart, right? And then the year before, it's not like they were that much better. They had some tough wins. They kicked a field goal or two, late in the game to win a couple games. It's not like they played great football in their first 4 weeks the last 2 years. So I think if any team has that confidence that, hey, once we win a game, we can go on a roll – it truly is them. So I don't see them. I think the best thing about their situation is, regardless if it's week one that he's ready, or maybe it is week three or four and it's into October, if there's any team that already has the confidence that we can make late season runs, it's them. And they have plenty of talent and ability to do it as well. So I don't think this is really a situation they're that concerned about. I think they obviously want Joe healthy, but I don't think they're that worried about what week it is that he's back.
Well, first of all, the good news is it wasn't an Achilles. When I saw that video, did you think
it's dropped? That's what I told. I actually reached out, like, hey, man, I just, at first I hadn't spoke to him yet. Just more like, hey, just whatever's happened, like thinking about you, I'm there. You know, any way I could be there for you. And, and then he's kind of shared, like, I'm going to be okay. But, man, it was scary.
But the general.
He thought it too. I mean, that's what he thought too. He thought, I'm done.
I mean, when he went down in a heap, we started texting the videos to everyone, honestly. And we were just saying that this is an Achilles, but it clearly is not. The question is what happens from here,
Well, and there's a lot of variance, like how severe of a strain is it? Right. I mean, what level are we talking about? Because that can be a massive difference in how many weeks of a process.
But he's walking around on it now, right?
I mean, he's like walking around, but taking off and pushing off that thing are two different things. So
yeah, if you're trying to get away from, say, Myles Garrett in week one, that's a different story.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting, But like I said, I think that they don't feel that much pressure about that situation.
Okay. So who's your sleeper teams for this year? We've got one in the AFC and the NFC, which means a team that didn't make the playoffs. It can't be the Jets because we're not sleeping on them. There's hard knocks tonight for Carlin. No, Jets. Right. So,
you know, I think honestly, I don't know if I'd call it a sleeper as much as I, you know, after his comments and really just how things have gone, I'm just so interested. Denver Broncos, it's like you want to see what happens. Like, you jump out there, Sean Payton, he's made a lot of comments this summer that have caused some attention, right? Put it that way. But I think knowing him, there's always a rhyme or reason to something he's doing, and he's trying to fire up the troops a little bit. And so I'll be interested to see what this team looks like. He added some guys that you would say, hey, definitely his emphasis looks like to me, he wants to run the football and throw play actions and get back to a little bit of what Russell Wilson was earlier in his career. And so I think that that's going to be their style, run the football well, try to throw it over people's heads and play great defense. And Sean's always been good at getting teams to play really physical and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see if that style works in that division, though, with Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes.
Did you hear this quote about Gillian hats? Did you hear about that one?
What's that?
Talking about preseason games, Sean Payton, what he wants to see from the Broncos in preseason games. When it comes to playing offense, he wants to get the line of scrimmage with plenty of time in the play clock because that was an issue last year clock management. But then he eventually – that's understandable. He then says, it's probably just as easy to answer the question as to what I don't want to see. I don't want to see 10 guys on the field. I don't want to see uniforms off after we're done playing with sunglasses on and Gilligan hats on and interviews during the game. That's what I don't want to see, but we will communicate all of that.
He's just – full Bill Parcells now. He's just turning into the mentor. That's great. That's hilarious. Unpredictable. It's him. I mean, he's always kind of like had a lot of influence from Bill, and I know, you know, how much he means to him. So you can tell it's an old school style of, hey, this team needs
the hammer. This team needs the hammer.
He's going to see what that – I think that in a mind – it doesn't mean it's always going to be that way.
Right.
I think what now he sees is, like, that's what this team needs right now, and that's who I'm going to be. And if he's going to do something like that, he's going all out.
So you think it will translate?
I think it'll be interesting because it's totally probably different than really what you see. Obviously, Andy Reid's a little old school, too, with the way they practice. They get after the Chiefs do, really. You wouldn't think that with how, you know, Mahomes and that team and Kelsey.
But they're flipping it behind the back and stuff like
but
that.
But they're a physical football team, and they practice that way. So I think he realizes that probably this Chiefs team is more physical than people give it credit for, and that we got to be just as physical, and that's going to be our edge. You know, and I think when you come into a situation as a head coach, your first year, you're looking for what edge could I give this team and just make them confident in something. I don't know exactly what our best style or play style is going to be, but I want to find what our edge is. And it sounds like his edge is going to be, let's make it old school, let's make it a fight, and let's have a bunch of tough guys out on the football field playing that way.
Andrew Whitworth here on the Rich Eisen Show. The sleeper team in the NFC is...
You know, I'll say it again. Sleeper's a tough word. Here's the thing. I want to see Seattle back it up. Last year, I think they surprised everybody.
Yep.
I think they've continued to draft really well. Those two young tackles are really special to watch. They're on offense. You know, I thought both those guys played great last year. They've got a good schedule that it's going to be fun to see. You know, can Geno repeat it? Because to me, like, consistency is really that thing you want to see out of football teams. Like, hey, it's good to see them have this year where they surprised us last year. But how good are they actually? All right, now that teams aren't saying, we probably could beat this team. You know, Seattle was legit last year. Can they reproduce it again? And can they take the Niners? I mean, that's going to be the thing. The Rams obviously are down a little bit. The Cardinals are down. The Niners are definitely a dominant football team. But how good is the Seattle team? And hey, they're really young, so it would be fun to see them have some success.
They got Geno a couple of new kids, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Excited about him. He looks
spectacular. And then if the kid can be healthy, Zach Charbonnet from here locally in your neck of the woods, Southern California, along with Kenneth Walker, again, if they're healthy, look out. And I don't believe DK Metcalf, ate his way through the offseason. I have a feeling he's just as in shape.
Yeah, so. I mean, when you look at those three receivers and the skill players they have, you got to get a little healthier at the running back position right now. But if they do, I mean, they've got a good young offensive line.
Right.
The problem for them is going to be D-line. You know, they're pretty inexperienced there and weren't as good as they probably wanted to be last year. So they're going to have to outscore people. But – see them repeat and maybe get a little better. You know, Shane Waldron was with us in L.A. and got a ton of respect for him. So I look forward to seeing what he has in store for the Seattle offense this year.
In the 90 ticks I have left, Brock Purdy's going to be the guy, right? I mean, that's the general sense of everything.
Yeah, that's a football team that's scary, man. They're, you know, I think they're going to be really special. And adding Javon Hargrave this year, man, really studied him this offseason from the Eagles. And, man, what a special guy. The Eagles are going to miss him. He was special, and on this Niners D-line, it's almost unfair to think of him and Bosa and what they're going to be able to do to people from an interior rush standpoint and Nick Bosa on the edge. I mean, you think of almost when Von Miller and AD were teamed up with us and the Rams and the run those two had together. It's going to be similar with these two guys.
Okay, so are you choosing them to win the NFC?
I actually think they might get it done this year.
Okay.
They've been there enough times. They've knocked on the door. The injury bug seems to always be after them at the quarterback position. But if Brock Purdy stays healthy, I think this football team, when you really look at it top to bottom, is really special. And they're all kind of like peaking in the right spots that they need. Young receivers, young DBs.
Yes.
They got great lines on both sides. So I think this team is going to be really tough to beat.
Chiefs conference in the AFC then still. Yeah,
I'm still confident in the Chiefs. And mainly because Andy Reid has made an emphasis of we are going to continue to sign good offensive linemen and keep good people in front of Mahomes. I think it's a rare thing that you don't see as much is that when you see these dominant quarterbacks, it's really they almost go the other way and kind of take care of other positions. But he has said, look, we will pay guys up front to where when this guy, as special as he is, has time and protection, teams are in a lot of trouble.
Really appreciate you coming in, man. It was great hanging with you on the NFL 100 show, the top 10 reveal. Greatly appreciate it. You be well, sir.
I appreciate it,
everybody,
brother.
Check out this man, Andrew Whitworth, on Prime Video, starting in just a few weeks' time on Amazon, right here on Roku. Still here on the Roku channel. So here's what I need from you on Wednesday night, because this is the way it's been doing in the NFL. Again, you do you, obviously, Andrew Whitworth, but in the NFL, I need a selfie video of you screaming a Taylor Swift song at the top of your lungs.
Okay, I got it.
Do you know which one it is? Is it "Cruel Summer"? What do we got? What's the Swifty song, the go to for Andrew Whitworth? What do you got?
You know, the kids are kind of into all of them. It might be "Cool Summer." We'll see.
It's "Cruel Summer." It's "Cruel Summer." It's
"Cruel Summer." "Cruel Summer." Sorry,
you got to get this right. If you're going to give me a friendship bracelet, you got to get your P's and Q's.
It's you know, I'm kind of interested to see the set list. I want to know what all's on there because I might know some of the
all of them. Seriously,
she plays 45 songs.
She's the female Springsteen, or Springsteen is the male Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I haven't been. I can't wait.
It's a long show.
She gets on again on at 8:20, off at like 11:55. I'm not kidding.
I'm going to be sleeping in the car on the way home.
Dude,
sure.
You will be.
The kids, past my bedtime.
But the kids will be keeping you up because they'll still be rocking. Screaming her lyrics at the top of the lungs. Okay, so again, you have the reach.
You got it.
So and what you got to do is you got to show the crowd, the stage out here. Screen the lyrics, send it to @RichEisenShow, and we'll collaborate.
Done.
Thank you for my friendship bracelet.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Dude, you should see this. It's great. It looks like it was done at 2 a.m. as well. It's like, it's all right.
Yeah,
it's all good.
It's cool. It fell on the floor like 14 times trying to tie it. If you could imagine these hands trying to tie that little string, it was special.
Bless you, sir.
For over 3 decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.